Hi, friends. Welcome to the Get Real podcast. I am your host, Jess Cassidy, where we talk real about life, real estate, and everything in between. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Today, we are talking about getting started with short-term rentals using Airbnbs. And we have special guest Brooke here to talk to us a little bit about that. Brooke is a freelance writer who runs an Airbnb that she lives underneath of, and she made over $42,000 last year in just over 10-month period. So today she is going to give us some tips and tricks on starting Airbnbs and a little behind the scenes scoop, right, Brooke?
Yeah. So
good morning. Welcome.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm like, all right, let's go.
wake up.
So I was living on the East Coast. I'm originally from San Diego for the most part, military family. I was living on the East Coast, going to grad school and simultaneously working a lot, freelance writing, and saving my money, putting that money away. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and it coincided right when I got a government contract to help the Massachusetts Bay Transit Authority rework their internal intranet. I won't get into that because not useful, but but that contract paired with the pandemic, really worked out for me because I was able to save a lot of money. Student loans were paused, and they shifted everything to remote. So I was working remotely, and I was also teaching writing for Emerson College, and I had all these other freelance gigs going on, and I was able to stack my day. So I had so many jobs. I used to joke around with my friends and be like, I have 12 jobs. But I just saved all of that money. And so then I'm also disabled. So when it started getting very cold on the East Coast, because the weather has just been, if last week then was a testament to anything, it's getting worse. So I have neuropathy. My joints swell up. I look like I have gout or arthritis. I look like an old man in the winter.
You need to move to the nice warm weather, Brooke.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, I got to go back to San Diego. I need to, I'm a writer. I can't be having my hands swelling up every winter. So I also was like, okay, so I've saved away this nice chunk of money. I'm going to get an FHA loan, buy a house, live in it, and also do Airbnb because my parents rent out a room, but it has a kitchenette type thing in it, and it's connected to their house. Yeah. And they do Airbnb with that, and they were doing well with it because they're retired. It was just extra money coming in. Exactly. And I was like, that's a good idea. So I definitely, I'm going to look at houses where I can do that. So because I'm a freelance writer, though, and I didn't have a traditional W-2, except for at that time, it was my current job that did. I was working at a little fintech company called Hello Alice that helps small business owners run their businesses, and they actually created guided courses. That's where I came in, and I would help write those. And they did one in conjunction with Airbnb to help small business owners run their own Airbnb and kind of automate it to finance their main business. So hustle Airbnb. So it was really cool. I got to interview people from Airbnb, the organization, as well as some of their super hosts, and create these guides. We had Ask Me Anything. I actually provided you a link to, it was kind of like a condensed version of the three guides.
That too. Yeah.
Cool. Cause I think that'll be helpful for people. The three guides and then the three AMAs, Ask Me Anything, with the super host where owners were, that's what we called our small business owners. Small business owners were able to ask questions. And I actually was in the third AMA for that, but I didn't know they were going to bring me on camera, so I looked terrible. Don't judge me. So that was my only W-2 at the time. So ever since the financial crisis in 2007, 2008, as a real estate agent, loan companies that give out mortgages, loans for mortgages, mm-hmm. are very wary. They want everything yes. itemized. Yeah, they want all the. So it didn't used to be like that. So I was like, I have the down payment. Please give me the FHA loan. And yes. they were like, well, you only have a W-2 for this. All the other ones are like 1099. You know, they're not consistent mm-hmm. income. We're kind of scared. So we're going to jack up your down payment to 20%. We'll give you the loan, but you can't have an FHA loan. So I had to borrow some of the money from my parents, but I made a detailed plan of how the Airbnb would earn back the money. And they were like, okay, we feel comfortable with this. And it has, it's done very well. And I think that, and I thought originally that I was going to have to do all this marketing for it, which I'm mostly on the tech UX product writing side. I'm like, I can do marketing, but it's not exactly my strong suit. So I created this like detailed brand page for this Airbnb. I was like, I'm going to brand it like this. And I haven't had to market it at all.
The market for Airbnbs have just grown so much. Like people go to look for those, I think, before they look for hotels and motels and stuff now.
100%. Because I feel like there's also a very, like the audience base for the market base for Airbnb is very specific. It's this very specific type of person who wants to like live like a local, more of an experience than a hotel can provide of the area. And so what I've found with Airbnb is that I took my own photos and of the property, and I wrote up my own description, everything, and just 100% honest. I'm like, the backyard, you can use it, but I live below and I have a very lazy dog who will probably be out there. He's friendly, but just so you know, if you're scared of dogs, I can keep them inside, but that's what's going on. So if you're just like very honest in your listing about everything, accurate photos, you'll do very well. And what I have noticed is that the long-term stays have gone up. And this is kind of where real estate agents like you come in. I found that a lot of people will stay in my Airbnb because my setup is it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom house. And I live underneath it in like a 1-bedroom apartment mm-hmm. type setup that the previous owners of this house built. It it's like an attached ADU. Anyway, so, and that makes it really convenient for me to like go up and restock things. But what I've noticed is a lot of people will come and stay in my Airbnb, and they do so because they're either looking for a house in the area and they want to reach out to real estate agents, or they already have made an offer, but they can't move in quite yet, but they sold their other house and back wherever they're from and they have to be out. So it's kind of great because the real estate agent I worked with to get this house, he's a godsend because I was on the East Coast and I looked at a few houses, but then I had to go back to the East Coast and I wasn't able to look at the rest. So my parents looked at a couple for me, and then Asad Linden, that's my plug for him. He, yeah, he was so great. And he kept in contact with me the whole time. He made getting this house so it was such a easy, well, it wasn't an easy experience because it was during the time that the market was really hot. Right. So I got a very low interest rate, which is very nice. But yeah, houses were being swooped up. But this one was so perfect. He was like, I found your house. And I was like, yes. But anyway, so when I have people staying here and they want to look at properties, and I'm very, so I give my guests space because I work from home, and I am, contrary to how I portray myself, I'm not as social as I seem. And I tell all of them, I'm like, hey, if you need anything, you know, hit me up. And a lot of them will ask me. They'll say, hey, do you know any real estate agents in the area? Because we want to look at houses, or we have a house we want to move into, but we have like questions, things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know the perfect guy. So I always pass on Asad's information. So that's why originally, when you were like looking for guests, I was like, I know something that all your real estate cohort is gonna love.
So Brooke, I'd like to take that just a little bit further, because I think that, you know, the Airbnbs are a huge missed opportunity for real estate agents, because like you just said, how they ask you for information about that, I think that real estate agents should partner with Airbnb hosts and make gift baskets, or, you know, some sort of package to leave at the homes, so that when the guests come in there, they have, you know, some sort of guide information for the area, or looking for homes with that real estate agent's contact information right on there. Because I know, you know, a lot of these people, like you said, are coming to the area to look for homes or just explore and see if they want to live there. So it's a perfect opportunity for a marketing for real estate agents.
100%. And then there's a couple Airbnbs next to me, and one of my neighbors wants to get in, is she wants to do Airbnb on the side for her place, but they have lived in this house for a long time, so they don't know real estate agents in the area. So it's
right.
A great opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I think absolutely it's a huge opportunity for real estate agents to reach out to them. And I know I live on the coast, so we always have people coming here looking for short-term lodging. And like you had mentioned earlier too, you know, people are coming here to look for their homes, or, you know, some are waiting for their homes to be built and need temporary. Or if you're in a military town, they need temporary housing before base housing is ready as well. So, you know, the opportunities are endless right there. And I definitely think, you know, partnering up with the Airbnb hosts would just be a phenomenal idea.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the military housing, because I didn't even touch on that. But I'm in Oceanside, California, which is right next to Camp Pendleton.
Yes,
and
that's
so,
where my son is stationed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning that. So I do get a lot of people coming to stay for graduation from boot camp, things like that. And I did have one Marine who stayed while he was waiting for his on-base housing, because he was moving from the barracks to on-base housing. And I was like, congrats, getting out of those barracks.
Yeah.
But, because, but, dorm life. No,
exactly.
But
exactly.
but yeah, so he came and stayed, and his family came and visited too. And so that was very cool. And they actually mentioned to me that on base housing, they didn't need a real estate agent to go around and do that. But he was like, I think I want to move off base soon.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have a guy for you.
Yeah, exactly. And then too, if you put something in the house that is, you know, kind of disposable, or something that they can take and that you replenish, like give the hosts, you know, a whole stack of stuff that they can replenish when they're replenishing in between the guests. I mean, even if you do like snacks and everything and put, you know, your sticker on them, then they're going to take them, and cards and, you know, anything for later on. Like Brooke said, you know, hey, they're moving on base and stuff, but maybe they don't want to be there for very long. So maybe this would be a good way to stay top of mind when that time comes.
Yeah, and it's great too, because a lot of Airbnb hosts create like little guidebooks, you know, just rules of the house, or just like where the Wi-Fi password is, where to find everything. And they'll have a list of like, and if you're looking for like restaurants, eateries,
yeah,
real estate agents, and they'll have a little list there. People can take a picture with their phone, QR code if you're real fancy.
Definitely.
That's my secret, is that this is where I'm a little ashamed. I haven't done that yet. I haven't put together like a binder. Mine's digital, but yeah, so I need to do that. I need to get around to doing that, but I don't have a printer.
Right. Well, you're a writer without a printer because we are in the modern age where you're not sitting there with a typewriter and stuff and printing off your computer. You just digitally send it all.
Yeah, all my friends make fun of me. They're like, you are like the worst stereotype of a writer. I was like, I know, I can't write by hand. I don't own a printer.
What is the world coming to?
Yeah.
I love the fact that, you know, obviously you worked so hard to be able to save for this down payment, but then you took it, you know, an extra step further because you bought a property that is income producing that you also live in. So you're actually paying your mortgage. Well, other people are paying your mortgage for you.
Yeah. So, I never wanted to be a landlord like that. It's funny. One of my good friend's husbands, when I said that I was looking for a house, he was like, oh, are you going to do rich man, poor man and become a landlord? And I was like, on one hand, I know that that's a good way to get income produced, but that's just not me and not my style.
Yeah.
I would feel much more comfortable doing like short-term rentals and that way, and living on the property while doing short-term rentals. I was like, I feel good about that. And I also, I just had a woman who stayed for a month. Especially in like the off-season months, I've been having people stay for longer periods of time. My current guest, I keep pointing up because that's where they are.
Yeah.
my current guests, they're also staying a month. But the last woman who stayed a month, she was great. She was also a writer from North Dakota. And I had visited North Dakota a couple years ago. So we were like sharing, swapping stories. And she's also a writer. And so I was like giving her tips on places to pitch, like different writing. And so we were talking shop. It was really great. So it's a nice little community of people who use Airbnb as well. I just got really off topic, but I knew that I wanted to have some sort of income coming from it. I knew I wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't be sustainable buying a house in this area for that much money and not have it produce income of some sort.
Right.
which is nice that I have that income coming in. And then I still work too many jobs remotely, but you know, that's the nature of still technically being in a pandemic.
Do you have any tips for anyone of what they should be looking for in a property if they are planning to use it as an Airbnb?
Yeah, definitely. So that was one thing. So obviously I wanted a property that I could also live in while Airbnb. So that was like,
and
a big
duplexes
one
or something would work too, you know, completely independent ones, but yeah, anything.
Definitely. I looked at a couple of duplexes, but I didn't like the area, and yeah, they were like on the, it's so weird in San Diego. I won't get into that, but just like different pockets that it's like, this is a good area. But if you cross this street, then you're like, maybe not. People probably won't want to stay there, which is another reason why it's great to work with a real estate agent that knows the area.
So working with the real estate agent, he was able to help you like find areas that were high in demand for temporary.
Yeah. And I'm from this area, but I hadn't lived here in a little bit. So, you know, neighborhoods grow and change. So Assad was, gosh, he was so good. I can't say enough how helpful he was. Because I had one duplex he actually took me to. He was the one, we walked through it and I was like, actually this, you know, this one seems okay. And he looked at me, he was like, high school's like right there. You don't want this. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess he didn't realize like the proximity, like how close it backed up to that, because it backed up to the high school's field. And he was like, we can hear the marching band right now. You don't want this. And I was
Friday
like,
night
okay,
football
that's
games.
Fair. Yeah. I was like, you're right. I don't. So that was nice. But so I knew that because the whole down payment thing, I wasn't going to have as much money to do reconstruction, refurbishment as I previously anticipated, as I hoped. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted to look for something that like checked, didn't have a lot of staircases, because I know that people don't go like going up and down stairs. I knew that I wanted something that wasn't like too nice because I couldn't afford it. But I also knew I didn't want something like ratty that would need extensive work done. Yeah. Just because I didn't have the money. And I, that's another thing too, is that I was looking at taking out personal loans when I got this house, because it had some upstairs, some pretty nasty carpet. And I was like, that has to come up. That's, we gotta, I gotta redo the floor. So, but everything else I did myself, like I installed the baseboards, don't look closely at them. So I knew for a fact that I was going to have the bathroom redone and the floor. And so I saved money for that. And I was like, if I need to, I will take out a personal loan for it. And I wrote up a whole plan of how much I would charge for the Airbnb, how I could pay that back. And I ended up not having to take out the personal loan, just because I opened a business credit card and cash flow just juggled correctly. The purchases, but, I lucked out so much with that carpet, cause I knew I was going to have to hire someone with the floor. So I hired a guy to rip it all up, because I'm strong and capable, but not that strong and capable. And he ripped it all up, and underneath was hardwood floor.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so I ended up, I thought I was going to have to like install like that fancy new vinyl flooring or whatever that that makes it all look nice and clean. Yeah. And I didn't have to buy any of that flooring. I just had to pay to have it resurfaced. So I lucked out there. But yeah, so that was a pleasant surprise. And I mentioned that to an older friend of mine. I was like, there was hardwood floor under the carpet. And she was like, yeah, there was a time in like the late 80s, early 90s, where we all kind of lost our minds and put carpet over hardwood floor. Everybody I was like, well, so that worked out for me. And then the bathroom, I hired people to replace, like the actual shower and retile things. So that was probably the most expensive part. And everything else I just painted myself. And I got, here's another tip. If you get a business credit card and you sign up for Wayfair, and again, I won't get too into the weeds of this, but I have a financial technology background. So I knew that they have a lower interchange rate, which means they can pass the savings on to you for business cards. So a lot of companies will have slightly cheaper prices if you have a specifically a business credit card. So like Wayfair offers a special account for business owners, and to say, to prove you're a business owner when it comes to Airbnb, because I was doing it as a sole proprietorship, I just called them and said, I don't have a business license, because you don't need a business license in Oceanside, California to run an Airbnb, but check with your local laws, because you might. And I just called them up and I said, I have a sole proprietorship, but I can show you my business credit card and things like that. And they were like, oh yeah, no problem. You're in. And I was able to get cheaper rates on some of the furniture, things like that, which is pro tip.
Yes, definitely. And most real estate agents have, you know, some sort of LLC, S Corp or something. So they can definitely use that to get their discounts. And a lot of companies, Overstock also has them. There's a lot of furniture companies and stuff that offer business account discounts.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so the other part of this is because I work multiple jobs and I helped create those guides for Hello Alice, where it was like Airbnb is your side hustle. So a big part of that is, well, to make it a true side hustle, you need to be able to automate things, so you're not constantly checking and worrying about it. So there is a great site. Because cleaning, that was my biggest thing. I was like, I'm going to have to clean a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom house with a full kitchen every time someone checks out. there's a website called Turnover B&B, and I actually believe they just rebranded to Turno.
Oh, okay.
but like I literally just got the email. They're like, we're banning the turnout. And I was like, oh, I gotta remember that.
Yeah.
But but it's great because it finds local cleaners in the area and it syncs to your Airbnb calendar, so it updates automatically and it has cleaners claim the jobs. You partner with like one or two cleaners, and they mm-hmm. can claim the jobs and they just come automatically. So I've worked with the same cleaners for a year now, and they're great. So the calendar
and you just
updates.
Pass that fee along to the Airbnb guests, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my cleaners came for the initial cleaning and they went through, did a cleaning, quoted me a rate. It's $126 to clean my whole unit. So I got, which I was like, that's a real good price.
In California?
So, yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. So I put that as the cleaning fee, which means that, you know, I don't pay out of pocket. It doesn't come out of my earnings. And the cleaners, so it syncs right up to the calendar. They see as soon as I get a new booking and they can claim it. And I just don't even have to think about it. They, as soon as my guests check out, like 11 a.m., they'll actually text me and be like, oh, have the guests left yet? And I'll be like, yeah, you're good to go. And I just put up the new linens up there. And they come in, they clean the whole place and change the beds, restock everything for me. I keep all the supplies underneath the sink and in a closet upstairs. And then it's good to go. And so really the only part I'm doing is the laundry. And that's fine because, you know, you throw the laundry in and you go about your day. But yeah, so that website, lifesaver, just automating the cleaning process.
They posted it in the comments too, to Turno.
Yeah. Lifesaver. Gosh. Yeah. That's my biggest out of all of them. Like,
yeah. That. And so, I mean, that's definitely a huge advantage to living on site too, is for you to be able to go in there and restock and do all that stuff, because some people do not live on site and they actually typically will have some sort of partnership with the cleaners for them to go ahead and restock the items that, you know, they keep in some sort of locked cabinet or whatnot for them. So definitely some advantages and disadvantages to living on site. You said, you know, about how to completely automate the process. Do you have, you know, like keypads for them to get in and out, to sign in, sign out?
So I'm a little old school with that. I have a lockbox that they put the code in, take the key out. But my parents have the code. So theirs is, it's funny. My parents are like the opposite of me. They have the lock, the keypad and everything, but
they're more advanced than their millennial.
Yeah, but they don't have the cleaners automated. So they're always on the phone, like scheduling cleaners and trying to find a cleaner. I'm like, why don't you just use this website?
Yeah. And do they, going back to Turno, did they charge an additional fee for you to like have that automated? Or no, because they just are like, yay, we get business automatically.
Yeah, I don't think they don't charge an additional fee. Yeah, no, they don't charge an additional fee to automate it. And then syncing your Airbnb calendar is super easy. I think that's like Turno's whole thing is the mm-hmm. automation part. So I don't think that they don't charge an extra fee for that.
Love
that. I'm trying to think like how they make their money. I think cleaners might have to pay a fee to list their business on there.
I'm sure they pass it along to somebody. Everybody's always, you know,
exactly. I'm like, they're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart.
And I mean, some of the places too, it might be a small fee, but maybe their advertisers pay, you know, a lot to advertise on there too. So
yeah, definitely. But it's just linking with a CSV file. So it's pretty straightforward. Like it sounds more complicated than it is, like syncing your calendars. Yeah. But my brother came over and videotaped me walking through the steps for my parents, because I was like, it's so nuts to me that you've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years and you haven't automated this part yet. I was like, Trace, videotape me. They need to get on this. Like, what is happening?
I love it. Love it. So, back to any tips for what type of property for people to look for that would work really good. Do you have anything else to add to that, do you think?
Yeah, so for San Diego specifically, and it really depends on, you know, what area you're in,
of
but
course.
You know, look at the, like, why do people want to come to San Diego? They want to go to the beach. So I knew I needed something within walking distance of the beach.
Yeah.
So it's about a 15-minute walk to the beach, but if you like walk out to the corner, you can see the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that people are going to want to be near restaurants and food, but not like the noisy coast highway.
Yeah.
So I was picking out a property that I knew would be close to all of the features that people would, that people want to see when they come to San Diego. And I didn't even consciously think about the military base just because I grew up here and I knew I wanted to be close to my friends and family. But obviously being close to a military base, good move. Happy accident.
That's right.
But yeah, so when looking at a property in whatever area, and also it helps to choose an area that you want to be in, because more likely than not, you're going to have to like visit at some point or another.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I wanted my place to be accessible. I wanted disabled people to be able to come stay in it and not worry about lots of stairs. So I made sure that there's only like one step to like get inside and that everything's super accessible. I knew that I wanted to cater. I love dogs. I love animals. So I knew I wanted people to be able to bring their pets. And so that was one thing, is that I waited until I had enough money from running the Airbnb to install a fence in the front yard, because it didn't have a fence before. So when people had pets stay, they would just come in the backyard, which is fine. But I had one person message and say they wanted to bring their little doggy, and they were like, but he doesn't get along well with others. And I was like, well, that's fine. I can bring my dog inside whenever he wants to be in the yard.
Right.
But it's like coordinating that. That was just another thing to coordinate. And I was like, dogs need their own space. I need to put a fence in the front yard. I was able to use the earnings from the Airbnb to do that. So that was nice. So it's really just thinking about like your market, who you want to cater to, what demographics, and then choosing a property that really will serve them.
Yeah. So real estate agents are very used to trying to find some sort of niche to market to. So this would be very similar to that. You know, if you want to, you know, cater to families, or if you get a house that has 7 bedrooms, I mean, you are going to be having probably multiple families coming in together, or, you know, you could market towards executives and, you know, team retreats and that sort of stuff. But, you know, like obviously the more space that you have, the more people are going to be there at a time, and the more, you know, work or cleaning and stuff that you might have to do too. So definitely all of those things to keep in mind, you know, when you're, you know, planning and who you are envisioning. And obviously I'm sure you have to be some sort of compliant to allowing people, and can you say no? I mean, I guess that depends on, you know, what state regulations and stuff that you have for fair housing rules, probably.
So it's interesting you bring that up, because with Airbnb, you're allowed to set like age limits. Not like on the upper end, I believe. You can't be like discriminate against old people, but you can say no one under 21 is allowed to book your Airbnb. If you're scared of people partying, I think you can say under 25 too.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty similar to what hotels and stuff have, right?
Yeah. And then you brought up like work retreats and remote working, things like that. I've noticed that a lot more people, because remote work is so prevalent now, a lot more people are staying for longer durations and working from home. So that's another thing to keep in mind too, is like have designated workspaces if you want to have like those working professionals. Which is funny that Airbnb has like the lower limits on age, because all my younger guests, because I get a lot of, you know, just graduated high school, freshly 18. I think of them as kids, but technically adults from Arizona that'll come over and they'll, you know, like pool money and they'll stay in the Airbnb just because they want to go to the beach. Or I had a group of kids come because they were playing in a N64 tournament, like a gaming tournament.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was really funny. And they've actually been like the most respectful and nice, and just like, and they love my dog, and they're like, hang out.
They're gamers, so they're pretty chill.
Yeah, exactly. And just like the younger demographics across the board, they've all been like very nice and very, very good. I forgot where I was going with that.
And a lot of the younger people are really into traveling a lot now, and you know, they love the Airbnb, so.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't rule them out. I wouldn't rule them out. Gen Z doing okay, but they're very nice. And the working professionals want the designated workspace. So like bear that in mind. My place is kind of unique too, because it's, as I mentioned before, 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, full kitchen. And then it has this weird room that I guess it's like a dining room. But dining rooms now, like modern San Diego houses, don't like really exist, or they're like set up very differently. So I turned mine into, it has a fold down couch in it too, as like an extra bedroom. But I like Twin Peaks. So I put red curtains in the whole room, and I put the like a black and white chevron rug down, made it look like this like room from Twin Peaks, that 90s TV show. And people love it. So
that's cool.
I mean, so you can have fun with it too. I really leaned into, because that show takes place in like the 50s kind of thing. It's like a flashback show, and this house is older. It's like 1950, so I kind of leaned into that. I was like, I'm not gonna like make it super nice, I'm gonna make it kitschy, it's gonna be fine, and people love it.
The themes are pretty cool for sure.
Yeah, people love that, because when they stay in Airbnb, they want like an experience. So they want that like weird kind of unique thing. If they wanted like sterile uniform, they'd go to a hotel.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a whole different experience.
And then and to go back to what you were talking about like guest laws and things like that. So you can't, obviously you can't discriminate, and Airbnb has practices in place that you can't see like details about guests beforehand. But they let you set the age limits. They let you set the number of guests that you can allow. And then you, beyond that, they'll just say like, either you can completely say no one above 6 guests, or you can say 6 guests, and then afterwards it's like an extra $50 a person, something like that. So their pricing and availability is really customizable. So that's very nice. Yeah. And you can set these different parameters to make sure that you don't have anyone staying at your property that you wouldn't necessarily want, like 18-year-olds, things like that. But again, Gen Z, nothing but love.
So it seems that Airbnb is really a huge benefit to both parties, to the listing and the short term.
Yeah, I like to think of Airbnb as kind of like the mediator, that you have this property, or like a broker of sorts. Like you have this property, you're that person, there is a person looking to stay in that property, and Airbnb just kind of facilitates the handling of the money and the, like the matchmaking. And I think they do a good job about it. I will tell you one horror story, not about Airbnb, about my property, because Airbnb was actually really good about this. but I had a guest staying in the upstairs, obviously. And they, I guess the toilet like clogged or something. And I think they were embarrassed to tell me. So they didn't mention it until when they were checking out. They were like, oh, by the way, the toilet seems to be leaking. So I went upstairs and it didn't say, it was just like a little water coming out of the base. I was like, okay, it's not that bad. I have someone checking in. I'll call the plumber. You know, I don't think it's an emergency. It'll be fine. So I called the plumber and I like scheduled him to come in like after the next guest left. So that guest leaves and they mentioned, they're like, oh, the toilet seems to be leaking a little bit. It's like, okay. Well, the plumber is coming tomorrow, so that'll be fine. Overnight, black water came down from the upstairs in the wall in my downstairs. And I was like, oh gosh, I should have said it was an emergency. So lesson learned on my part is just like always treat plumbing emergencies like emergencies. Don't think they can wait.
You never know, right?
But luckily, you know, then I had to cancel Airbnbs after that. And that lowers your rating. You're not supposed to like cancel as a host reservations. Yeah. But I showed the photos and like documentation of the plumber coming to Airbnb and they were good about it. They didn't count it as like knocks against me and like covered because you get a penalty fee. They waived all those penalty fees for canceling. And I was able to, I got the upstairs fixed and then the downstairs took much longer and that's a whole horror story. But Airbnb was really good about the whole thing and like facilitated that process, made sure that I wasn't penalized or anything like that. And then actually AirCover was like, did the guest destroy your bathroom? Like, we want to help. Like, we want to help fix this. Like, please put in a claim. I was like, no, because technically it's kind of my fault for not taking care of it sooner. But I have housing insurance, homeowners insurance, which make sure you have good homeowners insurance. Yeah. And they covered everything. So that was very nice.
So Airbnb will step in if the guests cause any damage.
Yeah, so the Airbnb was great about the whole thing. They wanted to help me. They were very concerned. They were like, did someone bring your toilet? And I was no. Yeah. They're like, we're not going to say that we have a particular set of skills. But they were really good about that. And then on the guest side, they also protect the guests. Like if they think that hosts are being discriminatory or like putting unnecessary charges on there, anything like that, they'll intervene on the guest's behalf too. So it's equitable.
I think that it's amazing how, you know, you have really been able to use this to supplement, you know, your income and grow, and what a great way to meet new people and stuff as well. I'm sure you can hear some crazy stories from the guests when you run into them or they want to talk to you. And if you don't want to talk to them, I'm sure you can hide out.
Yeah. Well, it's very nice because everyone's super respectful. They'll message me through the app if they need anything like that. If I'm in the backyard with the dog, you know, they'll be like, oh, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I'll be like, oh, I'm Brooke. You know, we were communicating on it. And they're like, oh, okay. And it's funny too, because I'll get these like Gen X or like kind of like older dudes, not much older than me, but, and they'll be like, oh, what's your dog name? And I'll be like, Lemmy. And they'll be like, Motorhead. And I'll be like, Motorhead. And they're like, how do you know Motorhead? You're young. And I'm like, I look young, but I'm older than I appear. But it's nice. It's just kind of, it's a cool community. And yeah, it's mostly just people traveling around wanting to experience the area like a local. That's why they stay in Airbnbs.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's awesome. And, you know, I can't believe how, you know, fast and big the Airbnb community has grown. Well, I thank you so much for joining us today and providing so much helpful information. And I hope that the agents have really taken away that, you know, even if they don't have any interest in starting, you know, any short-term rentals with Airbnbs, to focus on the marketing and partnering with the hosts of the Airbnbs. because that is a whole nother like niche that they can dive right into, depending on where they live and where, you know, their community looks like too. They're very rural. It might not work out very well.
You'd be surprised. There's some, because when I lived on the East Coast, I had friends and old roommates that would like pool together money, kind of like the kids from Arizona would do with my place. Mm-hmm. They would pool money together and like Airbnb out, rent out cabins way out in the mountains, rural areas. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely, you know, typically the way that Airbnbs are super successful is you're in a really hustle and bustle area. You're close to, you know, water, or you're out in the middle of nowhere and have something cool to offer out there. You know, the cabins, the lakes, you know, something, you know, just a getaway place. So there is lots of room to make money and grow your businesses.
Yeah, definitely. And then you mentioned that most of the real estate agents have LLCs. So that's like, that's half the battle because you can obviously write off so many things on your taxes too when it comes tax time for your Airbnb. I have subscriptions that I put on the Airbnb card specifically because they're for the Airbnb, and not just like streaming subscriptions but like toilet paper subscriptions on Amazon.
Yeah, definitely. And probably too, I mean, guys, you would definitely want to talk to, you know, your accountants and stuff. You might probably want to start an additional LLC that's just for your investment properties as well. But definitely ask the professionals, because math and anything like that is not my skill set. We can talk about marketing and all that good stuff, but nope, none of that stuff. You can talk to the accountants and the lawyers. They will be more than happy to take your money.
Yeah, definitely. They will help you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Brooke. And I hope everybody learned some really amazing things about Airbnbs and growing their real estate business today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. If you would like to find out any more information about our free training and coaching and any other programs that we have, or to find out more information about joining the Modern Real Estate Agent team, please visit us at www.themodernrealestateagent.com. Thanks and have a great day.